We are cruising into hour number two of the game, or as I like to call it, the game after work.
Ooh.
Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, David G, and Big Steve.
I'm hoping Big Steve's not making a commentary on the three of us.
No, I just like the song.
Okay. Get a little weird.
But I mean, if the shoe fits.
Oh!
Coming up in hour number two, K-State football has released their 2022 schedule, and there is one game that I'm already really worried about, to be quite honest with you. At this point in time, I'm worried about it, and it is like one of those hot seat type of games for K-State next season. Now, also coming up, number one song of the day, Ask Us Anything, but, you know, it is one of those weird non-conference games at home for K-State today, so we got to do it. We're bringing back Mitch Palm.
You've heard of Ken Palm. Well, that guy. Here's Mitch Palm with tonight's prediction.
Oh, we are going to correctly break down, because who is that Ken Palm guy? What does he know? We are going to correctly break down what this game between K-State and Albany is all about.
Who did that voice? That's correct.
That was former K-Man sports director John Kurtz, and host of the show.
Wow, I love the effects on that are good. But, yeah, who is this Ken Palm anyway? When we got Mitch Palm.
You got to pay for Ken Palm.
Yep.
You get it free on the radio with Mitch Palm. I mean, you can't beat that deal.
That's what I'm talking about.
We get what we pay for.
Oh, boy. Dude.
You just wait when I crush you, Troy, with this correct prediction of Mitch Palm, because the numbers have been crunched, my friends.
Yes.
So let's talk about Albany here. So they are 1-5. They are having a rough start to their year. So their one win was actually in their last game. They beat Eastern Illinois 64-62 when a freshman just comes in, and with 1.4 seconds on the clock, he nails a three-pointer. His name is Justin Neely. So keep this guy in mind, Justin Neely. He likes to pull off these stunners at the end of clocks. And he hits that three-pointer to give Albany the victory. Well, last year, Albany was a 7-9 team. They played a mostly conference-only schedule. Now, with this team, only six returning guys, nine newcomers. So this is a very new team, which they have a new head coach. His name is Dwayne Killings, who before this was an assistant coach at Marquette. Last time Marquette came into Manhattan, he was an assistant coach on that team. So he's a great coach, and hoping to turn this Albany team around, who had the same head coach previously for like 20, 25 years. It was a long time. All right, so let's learn more about Albany. First of all, let's learn about the town. Did you know it's the capital of New York?
Yeah.
Who doesn't know that, right? Who doesn't know their state capitals? However, you know, Mitch Palm really takes in consideration history. Mitch Palm loves history and accounts it for this game. Did you know Albany, New York is the oldest continuous settlement in the original 13 colonies?
Now, that I did not know. The oldest settlement in the 13 original colonies.
Yeah.
That's got to give Albany, the basketball team, plus a couple on Mitch Palm.
Yeah, 1614.
Wow.
Was officially when Albany was settled.
What? 1614? Come on, man. That might as well be Columbus.
Yeah, I mean, like when people in France or England, when they got in trouble, they were sent to Albany.
Albany. Send them to Albany to play on a crappy basketball team.
Albany rather than Australia. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Now, what is Albany famous for, guys? Well, they came up with some pretty important inventions. It was invented in Albany, perforated toilet paper. That's big. That's big for Albany.
Okay.
Wow.
Keep that in consideration for tonight. Also, they were the first to invent plastic compound for billiards balls, checkers, and dominoes. Yeah, Mitch Palm isn't too big on that part of it. I mean, how often do we play billiards or checkers or dominoes?
It's nice and it's fun and it's cool for those that do, but for Mitch Palm, it's just, you know.
I'll be honest. On Friday, I played dominoes.
Ah, very nice. I love
and
dominoes.
And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Dominoes is a lot of fun.
It's amazing. I love it.
All right. Now, more about the University of Albany. In 1985, Albany set a Guinness World Record for the largest game of musical chairs. Now, Albany, they were kind of criticizing their own students about not having enough student spirit, school spirit. They just didn't have enough. So how did the students respond? 5,060 of them had a game of musical chairs that lasted 4 hours and 35 minutes.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot of bruised tailbones as well, but it's kind of on the nerdy spectrum. It might be negative on Mitch Palm.
Actually, it's a positive on Mitch Palm because Mitch Palm likes the effort.
Oh!
They responded to adversity. Mitch Palm does like that for Albany tonight.
Okay. Let me write that down.
Albany famous alumni.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Now, this is a Mitch Palm staple.
Yeah.
How does the famous alumni of Albany stack up? You know, Mitch Palm is kind of so-so on this list. Picked out three names in particular. Steve Guttenberg. It went to Albany. Does everybody know here who Steve Guttenberg is?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You might know him as Mahoney from Police Academy.
Uh-huh.
He was also in the movie Three Men and a Baby.
Big time. Mm-hmm. That was in his like prime.
Yep.
Yeah. What was the sequel? Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yes.
Was that Three Men and a Lady? Three Men and a Little. Okay. Yes. He was also in that, and also in the movie Short Circuit,
which was a classic.
Love that one.
Now, Mitch Palm likes Steve Guttenberg. Mitch Palm really likes also this next famous alumni, Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk.
Wow.
Went to the University of Albany. He's the first openly gay man to be elected to public office in California as a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. These days, if anybody knows who he is, you might have heard of the movie Milk that came out in 2008. It was a biopic, and he was played by Sean Penn.
Yeah, you get played by Sean Penn. That's big business there.
Mitch Palm does like that tag team of Harvey Milk and Sean Penn.
Hmm.
Now, Mitch Palm is not too high on this next alumni for Albany, and that is Tara Vanderveer. So she is the head coach of Stanford women's basketball. Well, it wasn't too long ago that Stanford, you know, they weren't able to host the NCAA tournament because they had a gymnastics meet going on at the same time. So somebody who was not a top seed had to host the NCAA tournament. That ended up being K-State.
That's right.
And they hosted Stanford. Who else was there? New Mexico State was here. And Drake. Drake was the other one.
Mind like a steel trap, folks.
But the thing is, Stanford came in here and beat K-State in the round of 32. Mitch Palm is not too high on that.
That's going to be a lot of points.
Not too high.
That's going to be a lot of negative points there. That's bad history, bad blood. Shout out to them. We don't like them.
All right, and there's a couple more factors that Mitch Palm took into consideration. Raise your hand if you know the mascot for the University of Albany. Big Steve, do you know the mascot for Albany? Do you want to take a guess?
Come on, Steve.
Take a guess.
Okay, is it bird related?
Oh, boy, he can ask questions?
Can I ask questions?
I'll give you that question. No, it is not bird related.
Okay. I'm going to go with like a wildcat. Let's just go super generic, another wildcat, because those are just all over the country.
So what's interesting is Albany does wear purple,
but
they are not the wildcats. Mm-hmm. They're purple and gold, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the wildcats. They are, Troy?
The Great Danes.
They are the Great Danes.
Oh, no.
So it's another one of those, it's a weird mascot. The thing is, this is what Mitch Palm likes least about Albany. Great Danes is not a scary mascot. It is not intimidating.
No.
Now, if you look at a Great Dane, you see this giant dog, right? That in its own right might be intimidating, but if you know anything at all about Great Danes, they are one of the most sweetest animals you could ever have.
And they're either really sweet or they're super aloof, where they don't even really pay any attention.
You mean, chill.
Yeah, super chill. You remember Megan from back here, back in the day here at NBC?
Megan Love.
She had a big old dog, and she would bring around Zeus. And he was kind of aloof. Like, with strangers, he didn't really, like, he was like, whatever. And I was like, screw him. But a great Dane, yeah. I'm in, but I do want to, let's take into account for Mitch Palm. Steven disparaged Wildcats as a mascot.
I didn't disparage
them.
Can we
get that marked down somewhere in Mitch Palm for future reference? So that we can disparage maybe Big Steve.
Does K-State play anybody from Georgia coming up?
Yeah, the Savannah trees.
Now, hold on. To set the record straight, I didn't disparage them. But if you do look at like a bunch of high schools and even junior high stuff, Wildcat is a very popular mascot. That was the line of thinking I was going with.
Yeah, you're on a thin line right now, buddy. Thin ice.
If you look more into the Great Danes, the Great Dane as an animal, not intimidating. They're sweet animals. Are great with children. But you know what? That's not also not intimidating. This basketball team. They're 1-5, like I mentioned earlier. They're shooting just 39% from the floor.
Oof.
They're shooting just 30% from three-point range, which was K-State last year. That's not K-State this year. They're only averaging 60 points a game. Not a concern for me at all. So KenPom has chalked it down as a K-State win. 95% chance K-State wins tonight by the final score of 74-56. Mitch Palm has K-State at 99% chance of winning tonight. Final score 80-54 is the final score tonight, according to Mitch Palm.
I like that better. And I'm feeling the 80s, 50s vibe going on.
So it had been since, I don't remember the exact game, but it had been since last January that K-State had scored 80 points in a game. Well, they did in their last game against North Dakota. They also did that without Selton Miguel. Without Davion Bradford. Davion Bradford is still trying to get into shape. He had been sick prior to the season. He didn't even play early this year, but did get rolled into the rotation with Casey Eziegu still starting. Casey knew going into that last game against the Fighting Hawks, I can't get into foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do? He comes out and has one of his best games.
Mm-hmm.
I would even argue it is his best game. And didn't get into foul trouble, played well. Now, if I want Selton Miguel to play. I think he is a crucial piece to the puzzle for K-State. Against the Great Danes of Albany, maybe not as important, but what's coming up this Sunday, it's a road trip to Wichita State. That, my friends, is a game, in my opinion, Bruce Weber needs to win.
Absolutely.
That is a must win for this team. But against Albany, I'm not going to like put it down as a must win. Of course, it's a must win. You do not want to lose to a team like that, but they're not going to lose to a team like that. Also, I wanted to bring this up briefly as well. The thoughts on Marquise Noel. Bruce Weber, he brought it up in his press conference after the win against North Dakota about, you know, this guy could be the star if he wanted to. We could put him into the starting lineup. But we don't. They like the spark he adds to the bench. I can ask Troy and I can ask you, David G. I mean, do you like Marquise Noel as that bench spark? Because if you ask me, I am more comfortable with him off the bench as a sixth guy because, you know, right now it's going to be Nigel Pack and it's also going to be Mike McGurl. Yeah, with those guys in the starting lineup, if you're bringing Marquise Noel off the bench, as of that position, you're in pretty good hands.
I think he's done a nice job of being able to adjust to a flow when he comes into games. He hasn't shown any issue with coming off the bench and not being ready. He has been able to come in and provide a spark right away. I'm for it for the moment. I like where that role is leading to with him.
I think it's funny. I was just like, I'm on the flip side because I'm afraid that once K-State does find a rhythm, then we're going to have a gunner come off the bench and come in and just take the ball over and start shooting and doing his thing. The guy's a human heat check. I mean, he'll shoot it from wherever, whenever. I kind of like the guy starting off in the starting lineup, and then we bring in a McGurl off the bench. But Troy's right. He hasn't come in and messed anything up. He hasn't come in and been like, oh, my God, look at this guy. So I'd keep him where he's at right now, but the dude, he could be special, but he take it a little bit.
Yeah, you're not too high on, like, what do you say? Like, are you saying you're not too high on him right now?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not like, Like, when I say human heat check, I mean that in a nice and a mean way. Like, sometimes it's like, don't take that shot. I know you're feeling it.
It happened. You're right.
No, yes.
Yeah, and he's, like, especially, like, against Arkansas, somebody needed to come in and take over for K-State and say, okay, let's show some guts here, and let's take over and start shooting some shots and pretending we play basketball, too. It seemed like they were so complacent and like just a little bit taken aback by how hard Arkansas was playing. And that guy just came in and said, give me the ball. I like that attitude. I like that feeling. But sometimes it's like, let the game come to you a little bit. So I'm still up in the air, but I like his confidence. I do. I really like it. I don't think we've had a player quite that confident in a while around here. And I like that. I really do. I like someone who's like, right here. Give me the rock. I'll shoot it. You're not going to shoot it? Give it to me. I like it. I like it.
I think that's a great way to end Mitch Palm. K-State men's basketball at pregame starting at 6 here on K-Man with tip-off at just a couple of minutes after 7, taking on the Great Danes of UAlbany. When we come back, the K-State football 2022 schedule is out, and there is one early game that, to be quite honest with you, I'm pretty nervous about.
Whoa.
That's after this. So I love what K-State did today when they announced their football schedule for the 2022 season. I think they did this last year, but it's the game I think Jimmy Fallon has been playing on the Tonight Show where you have one person wearing headphones like we are and they just crank up the music and then they will like mouth out a clue or something or what they want them to say. And the person with the earphones on have to try to guess what that person is saying. Mm-hmm. But right off the bat, so it's Felix Anidike Uzama and Deuce Vaughn that are playing the game. This is how the video started.
My name is Felix Anidike Uzama.
Felix is out there. He's going to pronounce his name correctly, right? But he's putting emphasis on, hey, dirt balls, this is how you say my name.
That is great.
And then you have Deuce coming in.
My name is Deuce Vaughn.
He's already got the headphones on and he's yelling everything, of course, which is a natural reaction to when you can't hear your own voice. You got to speak
right
up. All right. Well, the 2022 schedule out. So here is the schedule. So the non-con, they'll play the three non-con games first. They're all at home. September 3rd, South Dakota. September 10th, Missouri. And then September 17th is Tulane. And then Big 12 play starts. Breaking news, guys. This season, K-State will start Big 12 play on the road Oklahoma. So they're starting on the road for like the 21st time in 26 years.
It's unbelievable.
Does that make you mad, Troy?
Oh, it frustrates the hell out of me, yes.
See, here's the deal. You know, when your first three games are always at home or counted as a home game in Dallas or whatever – you know, it's not too crazy to see your first Big 12 game on the road after playing three straight at home.
Yeah. I mean, where's the streak on that?
But it is when it's consecutive years plus and plus and plus. The fact that it has been so many stinking years that this conference has been around and K-State has had to open on the road is a bit frustrating.
And I get that. I'm not the one to complain about it because you're going to have to go play that game anyway.
Sure.
Does it really matter if it's the first one on the schedule?
I would like it not so much. It seems like we open up with a big hitter right away, always. You know what I mean? I want to open up Texas Tech, man. Come on.
Yeah, it does seem like recently when K-State every other year is starting at Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
I mean, back in 2012, they started at Oklahoma.
Right. I want Texas Tech. I want somebody like that to open up.
Well, Texas Tech is the second game of conference mm-hmm. play, the first game at home in Big 12 play on October 1st. And by the way, all games are on a Saturday next year. The next game is at Iowa State on October 8th, at TCU on October 22nd, back at home against Oklahoma State on October 29th, two straight road games. Back at home against Texas on November 5th, and then two straight road games at Baylor November 12th, at West Virginia November 19th, and then capping off the regular season is going to be hosting the Kansas Jayhawks on November 26th.
Now that I do like. We get a rivalry game on the Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Like that.
People also, though, they complain that you know, also having the K-State KU game the same day as state championship games. I know Mason Voth, he said something about it on Twitter. He's not the only one that's not happy about that, but
it's not the first time that it's happened where it's, well, right, not championship Saturday, but championship weekend. Or I should say playoffs weekend.
Well, yeah, and I like I like the game being the same day as everybody else's rivalry game. Because that's kind of right, what the game, the weekend of Thanksgiving has turned into, where we just saw Michigan, Ohio State, Bama, and Auburn, the Iron Bowl, and all these rivalry games being played. Although, I and the thing is, you know, K-State is going to stomp KU like always next year, at least you hope so, by God. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, there's one game that really sticks out to me that I'm honestly pretty worried about. And that's because, I say right now, because, you know, we don't know, is there going to be a new offensive coordinator? Who's going to be the quarterback? You know, those are still questions that are going to have to be answered at some point. And depending on what those answers are, if there is a change at OC, or is it going to be Will Howard or somebody else in the transfer portal, as of right now, the Missouri game is a big concern to me. Mm-hmm. Now, Missouri this year, 6-6, and they have never really looked truly impressive this year. They beat teams they probably should beat. They lost to teams I don't think any of them would truly surprise you. And maybe their best win, they beat Florida. You know, maybe that's the best one, but even Florida, they're 6-6, you know.
Mullen on his way out.
Mullen's out. Yeah, he's gone. They're going to hire somebody else now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if Missouri rolls into Manhattan, and that's an SEC team, of course, former Big 12 opponent, but if they come into Manhattan early next season and, you know, they deliver a win, Missouri does convincingly, or, you know, things don't go well. I mean, that is a type of game that can easily turn into a hot seat type of game.
Right.
Like where you're starting to hear the voices a little bit more and there's more pressure on the coaching staff once again.
And that's, to me, is too bad. Because Missouri, even historically, when they were in the Big 12, I was never that impressed. I was never like, oh, hell, we got Missouri coming up. That's going to be a tough. That stinks. But it is, because now they're in a different conference and they're in that conference, it is going to be a game where if we get spanked, it look out. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to start.
But I can just tell you right now, you know, that is a game that nobody will stand for if it is a loss.
Right. Right.
Like, nobody will just let that go by.
Right.
Like, problems are here if that is a loss for K-State. I'm just saying right here and now, that is the concerning part of it right now for the schedule is that game coming up on September 10th. And if Missouri came in here and won that game,
oof,
things are – I just can tell you right now, things will not be in a good spot.
No, they won't. I mean, the chatter will get louder and louder and louder. I mean, you know how it goes.
But I will say, you know, I do have my trust in Coach Klieman. I really do. To do the things that need to be done. And I'll just kind of put it that way, including going to the transfer portal and getting the right guy to like what DY said in the first hour, fix things, make things right, make things more comfortable for at least a season. And again, we still don't know, you know, like Jake Rubley. We don't know exactly
right, where
he's at right now. So, but still a lot of questions to be answered. But, yeah, that Missouri game, I mean, on paper right now, does make me nervous.
Right. Understandable. Yeah. An SEC team coming in.
And not to even mention Tulane.
Right.
We're just skating by the green wave and how they, you know, almost beat Oklahoma in week one.
Boy.
Week one, whatever week that was. I don't know if it was the first game. I don't remember that much.
I wanted to joke and say that the one that concerned you was South Dakota coming in, but, you know, I knew.
Well, they lost in Lawrence this year, so
they did, but didn't they play us kind of tight though? Was it a few years back?
Yeah, that would have been Snyder's last year.
Yeah, and it was like, oh my God, but you know, it ended up being okay, but still, yeah, the Missouri thing, it just, like I said, it stinks because if it was LSU, Florida rolling up, and we lost it, it'd be like, okay, whatever, but this, yeah, that could be a turning point type of game.
The thing is, like, but if LSU or Florida did come into Manhattan, at least I think the people would be, it would be a full place.
Yeah.
You know, the bill would be full. The students would be there. Like, it would be a really fun environment. I mean, does Missouri really bring that anymore? No. Would they bring that kind of environment?
No, because they don't bring it to their own place.
I mean, do SEC teams get excited? You know what I mean? Like,
that's the thing. It's an SEC team. It used to be Big 12. There used to be that rivalry, I guess. I mean, it'd mean more to KU. But, yeah, I don't know if it truly would really bring the atmosphere. I hope it would.
Me too. And I really do. When they went out and for the Baylor game the week of, there was an effort by everybody, coaches and players, the K-State social media accounts, of asking people, come to the game. Please come to the game. Show the seniors out. They should do that every week because it was a different environment and it was a lot of fun. They should do that for that Missouri game. They should say, come out and watch the Cats, support them. They're taking on an old foe from the Big 8, Big 12 days. Missouri's back in town. Let's kick their butts. You know, like, come out a firing like that again and bring the fans in. Let's do it. Let's bring them back and shock them.
Speaking of fans hopefully showing up, K-State men will tip off at 7 tonight against Albany. I'm actually going to be out the door so I can head over to Bramblage Coliseum. But for those listening, I hope get to see you here in a few minutes. And for Troy, David G., and Big Steve, I'm going to leave the last 2 seconds to you guys with Ask Us Anything coming up. But up next is number one song of the day.
Deep in thought over here.
This is our song of the day.
This is our song of the day.
This is fantastic. Toni Braxton, amazing pipes, beautiful woman, beautiful voice. This song, wow, bringing back memories. This is like 7th grade at the dance. I'm like, should I ask Melissa to dance with me or not? Oh, I love this song.
If you listen to the lyrics. First of all, Unbreak My Heart, 1996, spent 11 weeks at number one.
Damn.
The song is one of blistering heartbreak.
Dave G's just feeling himself over there.
Dude, I love this song. I tried to play this for my wife. I go, check this song out, and she hated it. And I said, unbreak my heart and say that this song is good. Stop. Love this. It's hard not to like this song. Oh.
Diane Warren wrote it. The songstress who also wrote I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Really?
On the UK show Songbook, Warren explained she knew that this song was a winner when she came up with the title and started to work it out. But the woman who sang it, Toni Braxton, felt differently, said Warren. Braxton hated that song. She didn't want to do it. And then after she had a hit with it, she told me she didn't want another one of those. Braxton won a Grammy for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance with this song.
And then was never really heard from again.
She competed in the 7th season of Dancing with the Stars and finished 8th.
Yeah.
She's been on as executive produced and starred in Braxton Family Values, the reality series that has been on Wii TV since 2011.
Oh, I love this song.
But never has matched this success.
No, this is a monster. You said 11 weeks at number one?
11 weeks at number one. Ooh. It has sold over 10 million copies worldwide, nearly 3 million in the United States alone.
Damn!
Making it one of the top 50 selling singles of all time.
Oh.
All told, Toni Braxton has sold over 70 million records worldwide.
Because everybody's like, they get the other album, they go, is this the one with Unbreak My Heart? And they go, no. Oh.
This was the second of two number ones that she had.
Wow.
This was on her second studio album. All told, she's produced 10 studio albums and had 10 top 40 hits.
Really? Oh, good for her. That's good. That's good.
When Billboard celebrated their 40 years charting, 1958 through 1998. This was declared the most successful song by a solo artist in the Hot 100 history.
Okay, so how old is the Hot 100?
1958.
No, come on. I mean, this is a great song, beautifully directed, produced, and sung, and everything. But the best solo artist song since 1958? I have an issue with that, man. You know? I mean, come on!
I wonder sometimes exactly who Billboard is getting to participate in these surveys.
And how much booze are they serving? Are they allowing illicit substances to come into the whatever conference room they're in? Like I said, Tony B, what a great song. This is a beautiful song, but come on!
I'm still trying to get over the fact that she hated the song. And it won her a Grammy.
You know, and she can't even, like, backtrack on it, you know, because
right,
you hated it, you didn't want it, and then you won a Grammy. You still have to stick with, I hate this song, even though it's made her a bazillion dollars. Oh.
So funny enough, with a lot of, like, popular songs, that happens more often than not, like
Nirvana.
Had that Smells Like Teen Spirit. They hated that
like,
one.
Turn it off!
Panic at the Disco hates I Write Sins Not Tragedies because of how big it got.
Yeah. Because people are like, every Toni Braxton concert, like, say God, break my heart! And she's like, I will. Can
we're
we listen to another nine other hits I've had over a 50-year span? Oh my God, that poor woman with her $1 billion. Her family is getting more famous than her now.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But this song will always be... You play this for someone, like I said, about my age, right around my age. Right around 40-ish. And the memories start flooding back. I'm just an awkward kid. I got my weird giant polo and some slacks on. I got my hair slicked back. Smell like Old Spice. Aftershave, even though I haven't shaved. I'm at the school dance. I'm looking around like, do I do it? Am I supposed to dance? Can I dance? And then you awkwardly, your hands on the girl's hips, her hands on your shoulders, and you go, burr, burr, burr. And as soon as the song ends, you get out of there.
See, you had it much better in this case because in my era, it was Air Supply and Lionel Richie.
Feels bad, man.
That's amazing.
Feels bad.jpg. There you go.
Listen, I would have been like, hey, babe, you know, you want to, hey, babe, you ready to party? Peace out.
You want to dance to some Lionel Richie real quick?
Hey, listen, I cranked up the Lionel Richie for you.
Got it as loud as it can go. Just me and you, baby, and Lionel Richie.
Is it me you're looking for?
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yep. Anyway, ask us anything coming back. Little celebratory music for Major League Baseball going in. No. I mean, think about this. Max Scherzer gets his money right in front of a lockout.
Man. Cash the check. Oof. Man.
Someone asked if it includes parking.
He better hope.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what's on the docket for Ask Us Anything today?
What is something you refuse to buy off-brand? A lot of us like to save a couple pennies here and there, you buy something off-brand. For me, Hidden Valley Ranch. If my wife walks in the door with some off-brand, store-brand ranch, I'll just throw up. I get mad, baby.
Ketchup.
Are you a Heinz guy?
Absolutely.
Heinz is where it's at, man.
Heinz is where it's at. Diet Coke. Generics don't cut it.
Dude, and generic pops, it should be against the law. It absolutely should be against the law for them to create these.
And it's then terrible. About the moment I say that, then I remember Shasta.
love Shasta. Oh,
yeah,
my
you
God.
Can't say anything bad about Shasta. That was like the off-brand of the off-brand. The king of the off-brand.
The six-ounce cans.
The king.
Yeah. Tiny.
The king of... what about you? You said ketchup?
No, I was saying that Heinz is pretty good. Something that I don't buy... If I refuse to buy it if it's off-brand. Whew, that was a hard one. I would have to say lunch meat. I can't really do, like, store-brand lunch meat. Like, if it's different if it's, like, actual, like actual ground beef or anything. Like, I'm not talking about meats. Like, I'm talking about, like, lunch meat that comes in the pack.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
I have to do, like, name-brand stuff on that. Otherwise, it just... I don't know what it is. It just tears my stomach up.
Hmm. Okay, so more of a health issue more than anything. Also, what's your kick right now? For me, the baby wakes up in an insane at an insane time, even on the weekends. We can't convince her to sleep in. So I've been making biscuits and gravy like every Saturday, like a true G. What about you? What's your kick? Something you wearing, making, eating, just saying, whatever. Is there, you got a kick lately?
You're going to love this one.
Oh, boy.
Bottle caps candy.
Bottle caps candy? What, okay, is it the chalky kind? Or
yeah.
Is it,
oh, yeah.
That,
the
like,
Wonka.
You're basically eating a box of chalk.
You've been getting on the Wonka bottle caps. Where are you even finding these at?
See, Amazon's a wonderful thing if you know where to buy bulk.
Ah.
That's fair.
Big Steve, you got anything you're kicking lately?
Currently, just tons of popcorn, because we have like an actual popcorn maker, like an actual machine, like you'd see at the movies in our house.
Good call.
And we have a ton of the butter topper, all the kernels, and just popcorn around the clock right now.
Ooh, cruising on popcorn at the Big Steve household. Like I said, I'm into making gravy, biscuits, and gravy right now, and it's going really good.
I'm coming over to your place on Saturday. That's
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. K-State basketball against Albany on the way as the Cats try to gain another W at home at Bramlage. We'll talk to Wyatt in a bit. We'll catch you tomorrow.